We've sang. This is our heart's cry, this is our confession, oh God. That Lord, you will bring forth new wine from us. That you will renew our strength. That we'll experience afresh the liberty that is in you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you all the praise, Father, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, welcome to church. It's good to see all the faces. I want to quickly do something, if you can indulge me. Thank God for the new year. It's still new. But it's moving fast. We're already, today is the 13th. Well, it is well. All right, so I've got a question for us. And I want us all to respond. What do you think makes for a good service? A good worship service, an enjoyable service. We've come to church. Whether I'm not saying talk about Amazing Grace. It can be Amazing Grace. It can be your ideal church. Some of us, we're members of so many churches online. Some of us, it could be your whole church. It could be one church. But what do you think makes for a good service? Anyone? If no one, sorry? Timeliness. Well, I asked everybody, yes. So, timeliness, anyone else? Okay. Presence of, okay, somebody else will say presence of Jesus. Baba has already said presence of God. So we'll just put presence of the Godhead. So we know it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Yes? Okay, presence of the Godhead. Okay, ma'am. Okay, plus hungry hearts. Okay, ma'am. Okay. Touched by every aspect of the service. So touched by every aspect of the service. So the service ministers. Sir, you were going to say something. An attitude of praise and worship. Okay. Attitude of praise and worship. We're very spiritual in this church. Yes, sir. Fellowship with God and man. Okay. Anyone else? Sir, at the back. Good sound equipment. Okay. Atmosphere, right? So, Okay. Conducive atmosphere. Now, is conducive S or C? Atmosphere. Okay. Sir, you were going to say something, sir. Okay. Okay, makes me a better Christian. That's what? Touched by every aspect. Well, you can be touched, but it might not make you a better person. So, makes you a better Christian, okay? I've noticed this side. It's as if you guys are on holiday. No one on this side is saying anything. Man? Sorry. Quality of content. Let me move this so that everybody's seeing it. Yeah? Quality of content. We're very spiritual in this church. I praise God for that. The preparedness of. Okay. So the various. No, it's. Yeah. If not just speakers. The guys that are standing at the back that are ushering. If they don't smile when people come in, what are you going to think? You think, man, do I want to come into this church? So, how did you put it? Preparedness, okay, of actors. Preparedness. We're going to fill this. Preparedness of actors. No, actors, as in actors, players, the people that are actors, not in the sense of acting, but actors in the sense of people that are participating. Blessing, engagement and refreshment. Engagement, food, so refreshments, okay? See, it matters to some people. So engagement, refreshment, what do you mean by engagement? Connecting. Okay, I'm just checking if we've kind of captured it. We haven't. Okay, engagement / participation. Someone else said refreshments. Conducive atmosphere. It includes anything else. The mood. Yeah, I think that's we've captured that. I think the attitude, but not just participation, engagement. I think it's captured mood. Yes, ma'am. Fellowshipping with God and man. Can we fellowship with God without revering Him? I don't think you can, but reverence. You can't have true fellowship without revering. Sir, you wanted to say something. To what? I think we've captured that. So you wanted to say something?
Prayer.
Okay, I'll put it. Prayer. Sensitivity. Okay, we're almost there. Anyone else? You're allowed to explain. Yes, but what do you mean by? I think that captures, when we talk about the presence of God, sensitive to the Holy Spirit, reverence of God, it's acknowledging that God, you know, is a source. You guys are very, I don't know, you don't have any expectations when it comes to church? No? All right. They just come, they sing, and that's that. Anyone else? Yes. Sister Pat, please go on. Clean, conducive atmosphere, that includes, yeah, it includes that. So, the old place, sir. Excitement. Excitement is not captured there in any of the things written there. Attitude of. So it's there. All right. So can I assume we've kind of captured most of it? Praise and worship. What are we doing? Someone said you wanted to say something. You changed your mind. Okay. So we can keep breaking it down. Yes, ma'am. That's what you expect in a service. Because remember, that was the question. Yes. Okay. I'll put adaptation. I think I understand what you mean. Sir, you wanted to say something at the back, possibly the last one, and we'll move on. What do you mean by that? So what about it? Yes, so what about it? I'm trying to understand. So the order, for some people, they might prefer to have a very clear set order. This is what we do. We know that we're going to do the liturgy, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and then we move on. And for some other people, wow, they want it to be fluid. Okay, different strokes for different folks. Yeah. Well, it's not adaptation, because those who like structure would not be keen on. We're very quick to say, okay, you know, as the Holy Spirit leads, and you wonder, it's just all over the place. And there seems to be no order. And some people actually like things to be set. You know, we're going to start with Bible reading. We'll take a hymn. Then we'll take the word. Then we'll take the prayer. Then something else will happen. We'll take a second hymn. We'll have our closing hymn. And by the time you know with that, you can actually calculate when the service will end, because you know what is coming next. So for some, order is good, and they want it structure. And for others, they want it to be fluid and flexible and relaxed. So, okay. Very long list. So this is my second question. What do you think God expects in a service? Or what do you think God expects from your worship, from your service? What has God commanded us to do in worship, in service? What is our service to Him? What is the service He expects of us? What does God want? Holiness. Okay, holiness. Obedience. Okay. Submission. Okay. Being spiritual. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Spiritual worship. Not too different from what we said. Spiritual worship. Brother Nimatins, you said something? Okay, to be in spirit. Yes, ma'am. I'm going to take four more. One, two, three, four. One. Okay, let's just stop there. Okay, you said dead to self. Well, that's my question. What does he want from us, though? What does he want from us? Ma'am. Surrender, okay? To be focused on him. To do with humility. Yes, ma'am? Bless you. I look at all this list. And even what we're saying God wants, and it's all about us and what works for us and what we do. Is God only interested in us? Everything we've said so far, up until that last point I said to help the needy, has been focused on self. Pretty much everything we've said, it's been all about how we do it, how it would work, and what God wants from me as a person. Not collectively, not beyond us. But is church just about us? So if all these things we do, God is happy. We're worshiping in spirit and in truth. We're doing all that. But does it go beyond that? Is that all God expects from us? Is it just looking for worshipers in spirit and in truth that worship 24/7? I think it goes beyond that. Praise the Lord. To help the needy. Okay. We're going to read a passage of the Bible and we're all going to read it, so you project it and we'll read it together. We're going to read Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 to 10. Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 to 10. Please, I want us all to read, okay? Some people are squinting. They didn't bring their glasses. it looks big enough. But, all right, so shall we? Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 to 10. Now, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time, his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And he said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. What are we talking about today? We're talking about expectations. Expectations, God's and man's expectations. We've listed a whole, actually it was quite a lot. I'm sure if I hadn't stopped us with, you know, helping the needy, then we would have started flowing. But the first thing that came to mind for so many of us had to do with us and God. I said we're very spiritual in this church. Thank God for that. For some people, it's, you know, thank God for those of us that are not kind of. For some people, it is more about, you know, the way people act, the facilities, the amenities, the things that make life easier for all. But even with that, we're saying that it should go beyond that. We all have responsibilities. And what is God's, what has God commanded us? We need to reflect on that. I kept saying to myself that thank God for the word that says we're complete in him and we're being called towards spiritual maturity. For me, in 2019, I've been saying that I have to reflect more. But I think for each and every one of us, we have to challenge our preconceptions. We have to challenge our preconceptions, our mindsets. We know so many things. There are those of us, thank God for Baba that just shared with us that he's been in the ministry 40 odd years. There are many of us that we've been born again decades. And we've learned so many things in those decades. There are some of us that possibly we gave our lives to Christ not too long. But even in those short times, we've got to know so many things. We've been told so many things. I think this year we need to challenge the things we know and look at it in the light of what God's word is saying and what God has said concerning issues. I remember when I was young, I was in a church and the pastor said, well, not the pastor, one of the elders in the church said something. I was a youth, and I really felt offended by what he said. And I went to meet one of the presiding elders, and, you know, I was like, "Sir, this blah, blah, blah said this." And the man said, well, that there are some things that are biblical, and there's some things that are church doctrine, and that learn to sift what the Bible says from what churches practice or what people in the church are practicing. Is it what the Word of God says? What does God expect of you? I had a quick look at some scriptures and I thought, okay, what is God saying? And what does he ask us to do? Some of these things, if there are no refreshments in service, will God be bothered? If the sound system doesn't work, will God be bothered? Just to mention a couple, you all know I'm a strong advocate for excellence and things being done well. But let's ask ourselves some of these things. If it doesn't happen the way we think it should, how would it affect God? And really, what does God want? I pray that we wouldn't be, you know, empty barrels, loud clanging cymbals, having a form of godliness, but not the power therein. Matthew 28:19 says we should make disciples. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Are we making disciples? Micah 6:8 talks about justice, mercy, and humility. It says, he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly. Some version says, you know, justice. To love mercy and to walk in humility before your God. James 1:27 talks about visiting the troubled. It says, pure and undefiled religion before God, the Father, is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. How many people are we visiting? How many people in need do we reach out to? How many people facing challenges do we engage with? But yeah, thank God for the answer we gave. It shows that we have God in mind. And truly, that should be our priority. The memory verse in the Sunday school session today, does anyone remember what it is? Which says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Praise the Lord. When Jesus Christ was asked, what's the greatest commandment? Matthew 22:37 said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. Now, there's a second that is similar. It says, the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But first and foremost, you've got to love God. But he doesn't stop there. You love God, you're loving your neighbor. John 15:12 says that this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. God expects us to love him. He expects us to love one another. I was talking to someone recently, and I said that there are some folks that came into the church, and I was like, I'd like you to get to know them. And the person said, does that mean I'm expecting a friendship to be formed with that person? And I thought about that. And this is my challenge for each and every one of us. How many of us seated here right now have friends in the church? Do you have a friend in the church? Because if you go out, if you preach to people, you witness to people, you minister to them, they give their lives to Christ, they come to the church, but no one is their friend. Who's going to be their friend? Who are the friends they're going to have? People outside the church. Friends rub off on each other. So if all your friends are outside the church, who's rubbing off on you? You have not a single person that you can call a friend in the church. I look around and I ask myself, quite a number of people are not in church. How many of us know the people that are not in church? How many of us engage with them apart from the head of follow-up? This is my challenge to you. In 2019, you have to make a new friend in church. You have to make a new friend in church. There shouldn't be anyone in the church of God that will say, I don't have anyone I can talk to. I don't have anyone I can relate with. It's not possible, or it shouldn't be possible. It shouldn't be the case. Because if they're not relating with anyone in the church, they're going to relate with people outside the church. Who do we call our friends? For some of us, we've been in Leicester for decades. And yet, in the church, we don't have friends. But we know half of Leicester. Thank God for you. Your hairdresser, Is she born again? Your barber, is he born again? Does he go to church? If he's not born again, have you ever witnessed to him? Why can't your barber be in your church? Why can't your grocer be in your church? Why can't your colleague be in your church? Why can't your classmates be in your church if they're not born again? If they're born again and they're fellowshipping elsewhere, awesome. But if they don't know God, what have you done to help them to know God? If they're your friends, why does it have to be during the week only that you're friends? Why not the weekends? Why not when you're in church? I think you look right from the Old Testament, we see God's expectation in the case of Cain and Abel. Praise the Lord. So there are two responsibilities I see in this story. I love this story because I remember the first time the Holy Spirit, you know, spoke to me about offering and how God has regard for the individual first and foremost. Because that was what he said. He said that God respected Abel and his offering. So the individual comes before the gift. Whatever you bring to God, if you're not in the right place with God, you're wasting your time. It's when God has regard for you as an individual that whatever you bring, God will have regard for that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But there's a responsibility towards God, and that is to do well. Meaning that verse 7 of Genesis 4. Can we just read it again? Genesis 4, 7. It says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? There's an expectation from God. Some versions say, if you do right. Some other version says, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? So to be accepted before God, there's an expectation from him that you're doing what is right. You're doing well. If you do well, you'll be accepted. Micah 6 said, what does the Lord require of you? To love justice, mercy, humility. James 1:27, to reach out to the orphans, to the widows. If you do what is right, you'll be accepted before God. There's a responsibility from God's part that we're doing what is right, that we're walking in the right path, that we're walking in humility. Praise the Lord. Secondly, there's a responsibility to one another. We heard in Matthew 22 how the greatest commandment, or the great first and great commandment, is to love God. And the second, to love our neighbors as ourselves. You know that Cain was accountable for Abel. Do we know that? Cain was accountable for Abel. Otherwise, why would God ask Cain and say, where is Abel, your brother? God expected Cain to know what was going on with Abel, to know where he was. God is omniscient. He knows all things. So there's nothing hidden from God. Why then was he asking Cain, where is your brother? God asked him, where's your brother Abel? Cain's response, am I my brother's keeper? Now, that response, you kind of wonder about it. Was it a case of denial or ignorance? Either way, Cain knew what he had done, but his response was, am I my brother's keeper? Should I be responsible for him? But we have a responsibility to one another. Excuse me. We have a responsibility towards one another. Are we our brother's keeper? Yes, we should be. There was a film many, many, many years ago. And there was that phrase, am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I am. Now, this was a group of, you know, drug dealers talking and saying, am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I am. If I remember, it might have been Boys in the Hood or New Jack City. I used to watch films a lot when I was young. So the very young Wesley Snipes. Or like, am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I am. But we need to be our brother's keepers. We need to recognize that. There's some people we don't see, we don't ask about, we don't care about. There's some people that are going through challenges we don't give a hoot. We don't even know. All we want to do is come to the presence of God, worship in the beauty of his holiness, revere him, lift up holy hands. You know, oh, the worshiper in me wants to break free. Yeah. We want to worship him in spirit and in truth, and that's just it. But God expects so much more of us, not just those in the household of faith, those outside. What are we doing? I say that if you fail to heed your God-given responsibility, sin will follow. If you fail to listen to your God-given responsibility, to heed your God-given responsibility, sin will follow. That same verse 7 says that if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. If you do not do well, sin lies at the door. Sin is pretty much just crouching and waiting. If you're not doing what is right and what God expects, then sin is ready to pounce. It says its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. So there's a way of escape. There's a way of escape. And that way out is to do what is right before God, what God requires of you. Think in 2019, if we're going to move to a place of spiritual maturity, we need to know what God expects of us, but we need to be doing it. It's not enough to know. You know, James said that to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is a sin. So it's not enough for you to know what is right. You've been hearing the word day and night. You've been hearing it for decades, for years. Are you doing it? Are you practicing what it says? Are you doing it in the right, with the right mindset? I think we'll close on this note. I mentioned on Wednesday when we were here about the 21st century church and the first century church. And I referred to a Bible study we had sometime last year where we're talking about the 21st century church. And Baba took us through that study. And all he talked about was the first century church. And I thought to myself, we're meant to be talking about the 21st century church. Why are we just talking about first century church? But we look at the first century church and we look at the church of now. And it reminds me of a song by a gentleman called Pan and Percy Paul that says, where's all the power we've talked about? So what has changed? God hasn't changed. God that was yesterday is still the same that's today, and he'll be the one that will forever be. So the things that were happening in the first century church, what happened to them? They no longer apply to us. Let's search ourselves. Acts chapter 4 from verse 32. Acts chapter 4 from verse 32. It says, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. They had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Nor was there any among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and they laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each and every one as each and every one had need. Sometimes we get so bogged down by things that don't really matter. Oh, the choir not singing the right song. You know, the choir didn't really move me. I'm thinking, choir, God bless you guys. Because it's not your responsibility to move people. I didn't really feel. And I'm thinking, is it about what you're feeling? You know, sometimes you think about it. There are times when you'll be like, man, I didn't feel the presence of God in that service. And when you're saying, I didn't feel the presence of God, other people are just thanking God for the manifestation of his presence. Mindsets. God is not working with your feeling. Even if you're feeling down, then encourage yourself and do what is right. Get yourself up, say, okay, I'm going to worship in spirit and in truth. Don't blame the choir. What is your expectation when you come into the service? Everybody's looking very sober. Praise the Lord. No, but we need to reflect on this. What does God really expect from you? Are you bickering with everybody? I was talking to a colleague and I mentioned someone's name. No, I didn't even mention the person's name. You know, we were just talking and he said, oh, that guy that's always causing trouble. I'm like, what? Like, everybody knows about him. And truly, there was an issue. What are you known for? Hey, that sister that's always frowning. Now everybody, their eyebrows are straightening up. Praise the Lord. It's not her. Stop tapping her. She's always smiling. Praise the Lord. God has an expectation from us. We need to be responsive to God's expectations. We need to know what he wants from us. If we're not cognizant of God, our God-given responsibilities, sin will come in. I pray that in 2019, we'll not be found wanting in Jesus' name. You know, with Cain, there was a way out. God told him, he said that if, you know, sin is waiting at the doorstep. It wants to have you, but you should overcome it. There was already a way out there. He still went ahead and killed his brother. To him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is a sin. Shall we rise up to pray? Just say a word of prayer for yourself this afternoon. We've talked about expectations. We know what we expect when we come to the presence of God. But much more than that, what does God expect from you? Since you gave your life to Christ, since you've come to know him, it's not enough for you to know what he expects from you. Are you doing what he expects from you? If you're not doing what he expects from you, then you leave an inroad for the enemy to come in. Pray that in this year, 2019, that God is calling you to spiritual maturity, a closer walk, a closer relationship, more of him, to know his will, to do his will. My prayer for each and every one of us is that for every day of this year, as we progress in this year, we'll draw closer to him. will reach that fullness of maturity that God expects of us. Nothing will draw us away from the Lord. Nothing will stop us from achieving what God has asked of us. What he has committed into your hands, you will fulfill your ministry in the mighty name of Jesus. You will not fail. You will not fall short in the mighty name of Jesus. God will look on you and say, well done, my faithful servant. He will look on you with pride. He will look on you with joy. He will not say, you know, go away from me. That will not be your portion in the mighty name of Jesus. Everything that it will take for you to do God's will, he has already granted to you. I pray that the Lord will make clear to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And you'll begin to walk in the fullness of his purpose concerning you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen in Jesus' name. Amen. And shall we share the grace in fellowship? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. And surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. And we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord.